Hello. So when Dave asked me in the beginning of summer, do you want to teach a lesson on Sunday night? I was like, all right, yeah, sure. What do you want me to talk about? Just something that's been on your heart. I was like, well, thanks for narrowing it down. I can come up like 20 topics off the top of my head. And I told him what I was going to talk about, and now I notice that he's not here. He either really trusts me, or he doesn't want to be here when the tomatoes start to go. As Christians, we try and act as much like Christ as we possibly can. I mean, we're Christians, so we are Christ-like. Makes sense, right? But here's our dilemma. Christ was perfect. We look at the things he did and the things he resisted and think, we can't do that. Or say, he only did that because he was God. Maybe we're just making excuses for something that we know will be hard. Jesus was God. That's a fact. But it is also a fact that he was human. We like to forget that sometimes. He had all of our temptations and he had all of our trials, but he still went through life without sinning. And that is why he was perfect. We as people, as the Bible tells us, we will sin. And that is why Jesus' sacrifice was necessary. But once we are baptized into Christ, all of our sin is washed away, so a new life can begin. But what are we called to do in that new life? I won't claim to have all the answers to life questions, but I do believe I can answer that question. Jesus gives us the answer in Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That might not be easy for some of us to hear. It wasn't easy for me. Until a few months ago, I thought perfection was entirely out of our reach. My analogy was this. Perfection is like a pencil put on a table. And we are stuck in a chair, forced to reach and strain for something that is just beyond our reach until Jesus comes and gives it to us when we're walking him into heaven. Recently, I met a preacher who changed my mind. He reminded me that Jesus is our example that we're to strive for in our lives. And as I said, Jesus was perfect. Jesus set us an example of perfection, and he expects us to follow it. My friend changed my example to this. The pencil is still on the table, and we're still in a chair, but we can move. We can change ourselves in order to reach that pencil. We just have to be willing to change ourselves. These changes won't be easy. As a matter of fact, they're going to be painful. As illustrated in the movie Fireproof, which if you haven't seen, you should. It's one of my favorite movies. The main character has to make serious changes to his life in order to save his relationship with his wife and his relationship with God. His TV causes him to stumble, so he unplugs it and throws it out. His computer causes him to lust, so he takes it out, puts on it in his driveway, and then he smashes it with a baseball bat. Good option. His neighbors, while he was doing these things, looked at him and said, "You're crazy." Well, here's the secret. He was crazy. He was crazy for his wife, and more importantly, he was crazy for God. His faith compelled him to stand out among his friends and his neighbors. So should ours. People should be able to look at us and know without asking that we're different, that we're just a little bit crazy. As we strive for perfection, we should look radically different from the sinful world out there. In our walk to find perfection, we might be our greatest enemies. We have told ourselves that we can't attain it, so we have to defeat ourselves before we can reach it. So surrounded in this world, we can forget that we don't belong here. We're not a part of this world. From the moment we're baptized and accept Christ into our hearts, we're citizens of heaven. As it says in Colossians 2:20, since you died with Christ in the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? The world, tells us perfection is impossible. That does not make it true. Sin, and how we look at it, can be the greatest obstacle between us and perfection. And I'm not trying to say sin is an easy thing to overcome, because it's not. If it was, then Jesus would not have had to come and let himself be killed for our sakes. But there's something... Never mind. Skip that. As Christians, sometimes we view sin as a ladder, with lesser sins on lower rungs, sins like gossip, foul language. Then we put greater sins on higher rungs, like murder and adultery. That's not a good way to look at sin. Because according to the words of Christ, committing murder is the same thing as spreading gossip. We shouldn't take that lightly. In the eyes of Christ, spreading rumors about a man is the same as killing him. I'll say that again. In the eyes of man, or in the eyes of God, sorry, in the eyes of God, spreading rumors about a man is the same as killing him. You probably don't like hearing that. I don't like saying it. It forces us to change our view of sin. Instead of it being a nice little ladder with rungs for us to climb, or not climb, sin becomes a wall between us and God. And every brick is a sin, and every brick is identical. There's no telling one sin from another. But Christ died for us, and when we become baptized in him, the wall is shattered. And then we take our brick, that is our sin, and we give it to Jesus, and we're welcomed into the fold of God. Now, after a welcome like that, is it right that we have to continually go back and give him the brick that is our sin again and again? No. No, it's not. Once you start your walk with Christ, every step should take you closer and closer to the example of his perfection. Now, that's not to say that we're not going to stumble, because we will. But it does say that God will be there when we do to pick us back up and help us keep moving forward. Not stay comfortably where we are or not move backwards, but to keep moving forward. Jesus asked a great many things of his disciples, but not a one of them did he not do himself. From loving his enemies to dying on the cross, he did it all, and so have his followers. His golden rule, as given in Matthew 7:12, says this: "So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." The whole of the law and the prophets, which is hundreds of years of history, summed up in half a sentence. That's quite the rule. To treat others as you wish to be treated is to truly give up our selfish nature. To give unconditional love to everyone, not an easy task. As I've said many times before, loving my enemies is my biggest struggle. I don't claim to have the answer to how to do it. I don't claim to have the answer as to how to reach the perfection that I believe God has called us to do. The answers to those questions will be found through prayer and careful studying of God's word. A studying of this intensity will not only help us reach our goal of reaching his example, but it will draw us so much closer to God. In our world today, non-believers look at Christians and call us hypocrites, because we say, "You're living in sin," but then they look at our lives and they see little differences. People were drawn to Christ because he stood out. He was different. He fought the norm of society. In the same way, so should we. Our neighbors might laugh or scorn us, but those persecutions are part of our Christian walk. In the midst of those kinds of persecutions, we are forced to rely on God, to maintain our perseverance and to maintain our strength. In order to follow Christ, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Now you must decide what that means, how your life must change in order for you to pick up your cross and to truly follow Jesus. Thank you.